Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about sulking, the opposite of meekness. Dietrich von Hildebrand says that there are two causes, pride and concupiscence. Concupiscence is not a word that occurs very often in ordinary conversation, is it? C-O-N-C-U-P-I-S-C-E-N-C-E. A great word for you spellers that are going to be practicing up for a spelling bee. Well, you might be able to spell it. You might not know what it means. You all know what pride means, the claim to importance. Concupiscence is self-pampering, the love of softness. Is there ever a day that you can turn on the TV and look at the commercials without being continually, relentlessly encouraged to pamper yourself? They use those very words, don't they? Be good to yourself. Pamper yourself. Have a little fun. The love of softness. Sulking is the attitude of a spoiled child. If he doesn't get what he wants, he sulks. And so often, that is exactly what our response is to God. We pray for things, we don't get what we want, and we say, God didn't hear me. I just had a letter like that yesterday from a woman. She said, I have been praying for a husband for years. I'm 38 years old. I know God didn't hear my prayer. And I wrote back to her and I said, don't ever say God didn't hear your prayer. He heard it. The answer was no. We have to believe that God knows what we need much better than we do. Marriage may look like a good thing. In God's eyes, it may be a stone. So it wasn't that God hadn't heard her prayer. It was that because God loves her and God knows better than she does what she needs, that he said no. He denied her request. The response to that is so often, in my case as well as the cases of many who write to me, sulking. I'm feeling sorry for myself, and that awful mire, that muddy swamp of self-pity, is a place from which nobody can extract us because we've chosen it ourselves. May God deliver us from pride and concupiscence. The sin of pride was the original sin in the Garden of Eden, the claim to importance. Adam and Eve decided they wanted to be somebody. They wanted to be somebody. They wanted to be gods, not just human beings. And so they disobeyed God. Their overweening pride refused the word of God and took instead the word of the devil, who persuaded them that they could better their lifestyle. The love of softness. Let's examine our consciences and ask, how many things do we choose to do just because we love softness? Our society encourages it in us all the time. The deep, thick, soft lounge chairs. I went to a Bible school where we had no lounges, let alone any lounge chairs. Mr. Maxwell, who founded that Bible school, thought it was good missionary training. And I would agree. I'm not going to tell you that you need to get rid of the padded chairs in your home. We've got some very comfortable chairs in our home, too. But it's not surprising that we get the message that we deserve it. We really don't deserve it, do we? Let's just think of it as a luxury. And every time I get into my bed at night, I think, what pure luxury we enjoy. And my heart goes out to those tragic people in places like Bosnia-Herzegovina and Somalia, people who have not only no place to lay their heads, but nothing to put in their mouths. We sulk because we're proud and because we pamper ourselves. Meekness is another kind of softness. We need to continually make the distinctions. Meekness, in 1 Corinthians 13:7, we read that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, you couldn't be desiring to protect that other person, trust the other person, hope for that person, or persevere in loving that person if you sulk. And haven't you seen it that somebody who is in a sulk, they can be nasty to the whole family or whoever it was who hurt them. And if a friend comes along, they can turn that mood instantly. It happens, doesn't it? And it's proof that we are indeed in control of our feelings very often. Not always. There are certainly cases where we're not in control of our feelings, but we are in control of what we do about them. But if the sulk is a permanent mood, then there wouldn't be any way that that person could turn it off the way they do. But I've seen that happen. Somebody can be very nasty to everybody in the family. The phone rings. It's a good friend on the other end. Oh, my goodness. What a cheerful voice. What bonhomie. You know, just absolute delight comes through the voice, which just a few minutes ago was refusing to say anything. Meekness may indeed be wounded by the sharp arrow of hatred. Sulking is embittered, resentful, and poisoned by that sharp arrow. Lord, make us meek. Deliver us from childish sulking. You remember that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, it says that he came meekly on a donkey, or gently. Matthew 21, verse 5, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle or meek and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When a king was coming in triumph over his enemies, he came on a horse. When a king was coming meekly, it was on a donkey. And so that's what Jesus did. You remember when Peter denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times? Three times Peter claimed that he did not know who Jesus was, that he had no relationship with him at all, that he was not with him. And when the cock crowed, the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. What sort of a look do you think that was? A sulking look? A proud look? A defensive look? No, it was a meek look, I believe. Think of the meekness of Jesus at that Last Supper described in John 13. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. He knew all that was to take place. And he knew that there were two people at that supper who were going to betray him. Can you imagine that he got down on his knees before those two people, Peter and Judas, and washed their feet? Can you imagine that he let Judas eat with him, dip his hand into the same bowl with him? That's the meekness of Jesus. Think of the meekness of Jesus before Pilate when he refuses to open his mouth. Pilate says, don't you realize the power I have over you? Are you not going to say anything? Jesus had what you and I would have thought was a wonderful opportunity to testify. He didn't open his mouth. And then as he hung on the cross, what were the words that he spoke about those who had put him there? Meek, gentle words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Meekness lets go. Sulking holds on. Which is the more irresistible force? Meekness, of course. It's amazing how if you just back down, concede, give in a point where a point needs to be given in, how that may just disarm the other person. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we're always supposed to back down, not by any means. There are plenty of places where we're supposed to stand. That sixth chapter of Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and it uses the word stand. Take your stand, that you may be able to stand against the devil. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's no backing down on things like that. But when a person has wronged you, that's a different thing, isn't it? It's a very different thing. Meekness is a force more irresistible than death. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. In order for me really to love, I have to possess all of those qualities. In order for me truly to be meek, I have to possess those qualities. So I would like to ask you today, ponder your own heart. Are you sulking about something? Will you confess that pride, that concupiscence? Will you relinquish your claim to importance?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.